A few of us have been struggling with coughs and colds, and Ingrid struggled a bit with the singing this morning, and we missed Leah, she wasn't here today. And sometimes when I've got to lead a song, I'm not very happy about it. I don't mind playing in the background, but I really don't like the lead singing, and especially when I've got a cough. But, you know, whether I've got a cough or not, I really love preaching. I really do. And I just hope and pray that what I said today will be of great help and challenge and a blessing to you. So if you just want to pop the title up, For the Glory of God Alone, these two readings, Psalm 19, Romans chapter 11, just those few verses. The well-known composer Johann Sebastian Bach wrote the initials SDG on many of, indeed all of his church compositions, but he also applied it to some of his secular works as well, his compositions. And the initials SDG just simply stand for Soli Deo Gloria. In other words, to God be the glory. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing for someone famous like that who's, you know, such a genius, who he would say, all of my work is to the glory of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If only all of us could be like that. I want to tell you later that we can do things to the glory of God with not just the big things of life, but with the insignificant things as well, or at least what appears to be insignificant. And in a wonderful way, Bach did what most people who serve the Lord long to do, to bring glory to God. You know, if only I could return and say thank you for all that he has done for me. Do you remember that song by Andrea Crouch, To God Be the Glory? You know, it's such a wonderful song. If you've never heard it, look it up on YouTube. It's great. I like to think, I think it is a humbling thing for people who are skilled and talented to say, I've done this for the glory of God. Not for a pat on the back, not for finance, not for anything else, just for his glory. Everything else is a bonus. And this is, you know, this is now the fifth and final solo that we're looking at over these last few weeks that go back 500 years. This isn't just something that happened yesterday or last year or last century. It's been around a while and was something that Martin Luther rediscovered. And we need to rediscover it for our generation too. If the Bible, which was the first one, retains a very special place in all of literature, being the Word of God for us, and if Christ and grace and faith stand alone and stand sufficient for us, then it follows that we can give all the glory to God. And if it's okay with you, as I said before, I don't want to do an outline as such, but I want to keep this really simple this morning. And it occurred to me when I was preparing for this recently that I wanted to show a few pictures so that you can, well, we like pictures, don't we? We like magazines with pictures, all those words, you know, we like a picture now and again. So anyway, I hope that this helps a little bit. If you look up, you will see God's glory. That was our verse for today. It's a bit small. Sorry. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Sometimes we look up and we don't see anything. But if you go to a country where there's no light pollution and you look up, it is amazing. It is amazing, especially Zimbabwe. Isn't that true? That's true. You know, 6:30 at night, somebody turns on the darkness, and the stars are there, and they're screaming at us. They're screaming at us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Something is coming up not too far away. You see it in the shops already, and here it is, the second one. Glory to God in the highest. Christmas. It's all about Christmas. Glory to God in the highest. It's not about tinsel. It's not about these presents we buy one another. It is, but it's much more than that. It's about the glory of God in the highest. In the highest. I want you to think about that. This Advent season is about the glory of God. The third picture, I think, is a humbling one. It reminds us, every single one of us, that we all have sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory. God has great glory. And I know there are some people who walk about and, you know, they're famous people, they're wealthy people, they have achieved first place, you know, they've got the medals, all those things, and there's glory in all of that. But it is nothing compared to the glory of God. We all fall short compared to the glory of God. And in spite of this, and this is the amazing thing, God has ordained to fill our lives with glorious things, even though we have fallen short. He's going to fill our lives with, he has planned to do that for all those who believe. No believer will be disappointed. Not one. Next picture. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you," he's speaking to his apostles, his disciples, "did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" I hope that didn't fall by the wayside. You know, somebody tells you something and it's in one ear and out the other. This is just an incredible verse. You will see the glory of God. It's a wonderful promise for you this morning and for all, well, for everyone. But I want to make it a wonderful promise for the people tomorrow at this funeral service. I want them to know that for Margaret, she's not forgotten. She's not buried and forgotten. She's not dead. But she is, in fact, alive in glory. This is our faith. It's a wonderful declaration to make. I really like this next picture because God's glory can be found everywhere. I thought there was a fireball at first, but it's not. It's just clouds with the sun striking it. So whether you eat or drink, Paul said, is something as simple as that? Eat or drink, or whatever you do, whatever it is, I want you to get this, you can do it to the glory of God. Little child can come up here, check one of those things and do it to the glory of God. You can go home, make your dinner, say a grace, eat it to the glory of God. Fellowship around the table. We like food, don't we? You know, we like kitchens and stuff like that. And coffee shops. Not just the big things, but the little things too. Then, of course, let's not forget this. To God be the glory in the cross of Christ. Some people thought that was just a total disaster at the time, but no, this was the glory of God. And this is what Paul said in Galatians. He said, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And then one last picture before I say a few other things. And it shows that everything is the work of his hands. It's all the work of God's hands. I wonder how they got that picture. Got to be from a spacecraft, from a satellite. Presume that's the moon in the background. You can't always tell when you get a picture of YouTube, you know, or whatever, or Google. But I was really taken with this because all of this is beautiful. All of this is for the glory of God. For all of the wonderful ways that the Bible portrays creation, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. For all those wonderful things, what modern technological advance has done has enabled us to see God's creation in a wonderful way. This picture did not exist beyond 50 years ago. We had nowhere to do that. And what the psalmist is trying to do in pen and paper, someone was able to send a camera up there and take this picture, this wonderful blue planet that we are living on, and everything else looks dead compared to this. This is something that only previous generations could only dream about. I also want to say that the universe is a dangerous place, but here on planet Earth, the most perfect location of all, we can sense. I hope that you can sense the glory of God. In the past, God's presence was seen in a rainbow promise that God would not destroy the earth again with rain. That was his glory. It was seen in the Ark of the Covenant, which had those tablets of stone that God had written with his hand and given to Moses, a jar of manna that kept some, it had stayed good. The rod that magically budded that belonged to Aaron was in that ark. This was an incredibly powerful thing. It was like this was the presence of God. This was his glory. They carried it forth into battle. Wherever this was, they came and bowed low because this was the presence of God. And also the written law, how important that was, the law of Moses. They would stand up when it was read. They would listen to it reverently. They didn't always do that, but they should have. And then the pillars of cloud and fire. Can you imagine? I don't know how those pillars were during that wilderness wandering as they were for 40 years. It was there every day and every night. And God's presence was seen particularly in that marvelous Jerusalem temple. Beautiful as it was awesome. You know, we go into a cathedral today and you can almost sense the presence of God. But just imagine that Jerusalem temple. And the throne of King David. But I want to tell you something else much better than that. Today, God's glory is seen in his presence. The presence of his Spirit in the hearts out there of people who believe. The temple has gone. We don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is anymore. We see a rainbow from time to time, you know, but God's presence in here, that is the glory of God upon the earth. And this is so true. The greatest thing is God's Spirit who would come and dwell in the hearts and lives of believers. Let me just say a few things about this psalm and then I'll close. There are two principal sections to this psalm 19, verses 2 to 7, which is all about the praise of God's nature, the glory of God in nature. And then verses 8 to 15, the praise of the Lord in the Torah or the law that was very special to the people in the Old Testament. And I think it was about a year ago in our home group, we were looking at the Psalms, and maybe 2 years, but anyway. But we came to Psalm 19, and we decided that we would spend 2 weeks on this, the first week in verses 2 to 7, and then the second week in verses 8 to the end. And I look back now and I think that was probably a mistake, because this was one Psalm. This was one Psalm. And there was one point, and there was one message. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest intellects, Christian intellects we have known, said this. No, he didn't. Well, I can tell you what it is anyway. Here we go. This is what he said. I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter, in the Psalms, and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. This for him was like, you know, this is the 23rd Psalm. This was like a remarkable. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. But it's also how it finishes. It's really important. We'll come to that in a moment. But isn't it also true that nature is a real beast? Isn't it true? In the past 2 months, we've had 3 hurricanes, and our country has experienced just the edge of one. I mean, just the edge. And by this time, it was a Category 1, which is still quite something. But imagine that Category 5 Irma out in the Bahamas. It just leveled whole islands. Their livelihood was gone. There wasn't a leaf remaining on a tree. It was totally devastated. Nature can be a real beast. And let's not forget the beauty of that, those orange hues in the backdrop that some of you may have seen in the sky, which was just a sidekick of Mother Nature. And in our fallen world, or maybe I should say, fallen universe, we see the beauty and the beast, for it is both incredibly dangerous, as we all know from the news, and breathtakingly beautiful. Mother Nature, Father God, fallen universe. And you must have seen the news on the collision of the two dwarf stars that happened just a few days ago and was watched. Did you watch it in the news? Was watched by every viewing facility, space viewing facility on the earth. When news came out, they all turned around and pointed to that part of the sky, all these big telescopes. They were watching this. And they said, now how to write this down, make sure I got it right. They said it happened 137 million light years ago in history. Just want to let that figure sink in for a moment. Light that travels at 186,000 miles per second, traveling for 137 million years, just in case we missed it the first time around, and we saw it, it was there just a few days ago. Powerful telescopes and the interest of every astronomer was fully focused on this remarkable spectacle in the sky. And what a glorious spectacle it was for millions of people to watch it after the event had happened. We were looking at far-flung history. Can you sense something beyond our finite lives? Can you begin to sense that? Can you bring yourself to acknowledge that there is something far greater than our daily horizons? And what about the horizons beyond science? You know, some people think science has the answer to the world. No, it doesn't. It has lots of answers. It gives us lots of interesting facts. It helps us to discover wonderful things, but it is finite. And God is infinite. And His glory is infinite. And the heavens far above us actually today, yesterday, and tomorrow declare the glory of God. That's what they're doing right now. And His law declares the will of God for mankind, but it is by our mouths and our tongues that we offer praise to the glory and majesty of God, the maker of heaven and earth. And I want you to get this. It's not just with our mouths, but when we bow the knee and we confess Jesus is Lord, there's something glorious that happens there. There's something true. It's been true forever. It was true before those two dwarf stars collided 137 million light years ago. And it's true today. And science can't take you there. Only the Word of God can take you there. Only faith can take you there. Only the grace of God can take you there. And it is the glory of God. And when we submit to this awesome revelation about God Himself, we bring Him glory. We bring Him glory. And there's this great smile upon the face of the Almighty. And we are His children. I keep saying I'm finishing. Sorry. And so the psalmist moves in climactic fashion from macrocosm, that which is so big, to microcosm, that which is so small, from the farthest reaches of the universe and its glory to the hearts of humble humanity who believe in Jesus Christ. That's what happens. And we sense the letters SDG emblazoned upon it all to the glory of God. And the climax lies in the microcosm, in the small, not in the big. I know that the ladies went off on their ladies' retreat yesterday. I wasn't there. But I do know what the theme was. And it's about those little things in life, isn't that right? You know? And the climax lies in the microcosm, not in the heavenly roar, not in the big things, not when we're looking at the people who are on the top podium with their medals and everything else. But listen, listen, the conclusion to this wonderful psalm. May the words of my mouth, my lips and tongue, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I'm not too sure whether to point here, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My words, audible and free, my speech that I have chosen to offer to God in praise of him, my words and your words, people are free to choose whatever words they want. They can curse God or they can bless him. It's their choice. And in that place where science and instruments cannot reach, in the meditation of our hearts, we think these glorious thoughts of our God and Father Jesus Christ. About a God, and try to imagine all that God has planned for us in glory. I'm going to ask Jack if he would come to the front. Musicians are going to finish up with a very appropriate song. And as he does, I want to just give you the Apostle Paul's conclusion on this subject. And this is what he says. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who was ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. Let's say this together. To him be glory forever. Amen.